love to us is so touching, Lord. And Father, we remember those Jewish people, Father, who wondered whether really you loved them. They were living on this earth just like any other tribe, Lord. They were suffering, Lord. They got sick, Lord, and everything like any other man. They looked, Lord, and they didn't think that you loved them. And Father, when they were wandering like that, you came upon them and you said, your love is not shown by being babied and taken care of like that, Lord. Sometimes you let us suffer, Father, for a purpose. Sometimes you let us go through things, Lord, for a purpose. And you said that Job said that you put strength to us in that. You said your love is known by election. You had chosen as a nation among all the nations of the world. That was the only nation that you called my nation. Amongst the peoples, languages, and things of this world, Lord, you've chosen somebody, members of this bride, Lord, and declare, these are mine. Wherever I am, they will be. You'll never part. We are one. Lord, what a great love again in this age. We thank you, Father, for the things that you've done to us. Thank you, and glory and honor be to your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Hold on.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We appreciate Brother Goomba coming and taking the front for us, and we enjoyed the singing, and sound like everybody was really singing out tonight. And now Brother Goomba's going to the airport to pick up the girls. So we'll be looking forward to seeing them on Sunday. And we trust that they've had a good flight and they arrive well. And I think they already did customs there in Chicago. So they'll just come straight out when they get here, just pick up their luggage and go. So that's a good thing. We thank God. And so I didn't, you know, when you're not one of those people who think everything out way ahead of time and are able to plan and do all of that stuff, then you just kind of take it as it comes to you. And so I was just thinking a while ago, I don't know how it would work for everybody, but I just thought I would throw it out there. And then we can see, we'll send out a text to everybody. But I don't know if it would work for Brother Goomba, but I thought since the girls were coming in, maybe we could have a dinner or something. If my wife's feeling better, she's
working this week.
Sorry?
No, Goomba's working this weekend.
Oh, you're working Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. We'd like, maybe we could at least have the girls over and have some fellowship with them. But then maybe the next weekend we could have a dinner or something. And the weather's starting to warm up a little bit, and so it's been nice. So we'll see. We'll just see what everybody's schedule is, and then if it, we'll see if we can get together and let everybody get to meet the girls and talk to them. And we're certainly looking forward to them being here and having some fellowship. And so we thank God for his blessings. And so let us bow our heads once again as we look to him. Father, we thank you and praise you. We just appreciate, Lord, the sweet spirit, Lord, and the song service, the great words that were spoken, Lord, the words of the prophet and the words of your servant, Lord. And we thank you and praise you. Lord, we just thank you for giving travel and mercy to the girls and bringing them in safely, Lord. We thank you for your blessings upon them. Lord, may you just make the way in this continuing the final hour or two here, Lord, just be with them and keep them. And now as we go in the furtherance of this service, may you speak to our hearts. Lord, give us words to speak to the people. And we just ask your blessings upon each one now as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. And we tonight. We're on part 33, but we took the title, The Closing of the Old and the New Testament. Brother Branham, one of the messages he was preaching, and maybe I think a couple of times actually, but one of the times he was preaching, he was talking about the New Testament, and he referred to Brother the brother, he was so close to him. The one who edited the Church Ages book, wrote the Church Ages book. Leavell, yeah. So he looked at Leavell and he said, New Testament means New Covenant. And he said, Old Testament means Old Covenant. And he looked to Brother Vail and he asked him, he said, isn't that right, Brother Vail? And he was wanting an amen. And he wanted somebody to confirm that was a statement. And, I thought it was a simple statement. And it is a simple statement. We all know that that's what it means. And so, but Brother Branham was in his message was bringing out about those covenants and that's what they were. They were covenants that God made with the people of that day. And so that's what the challenge was in Paul's day, was bringing the people to the place that a new covenant was being introduced. And that old covenant was being closed out. And so it's so easy today. This has been said many times by many preachers, but it's so easy today for the people to look back and see that Paul was bringing a new covenant and the old covenant was done away. And it is really amazing when we stop and think about it, how it's just like saying Noah was a prophet and the flood and all of that was his message and all that. It's just not hard for people to believe that. But yet, when you bring it to this day, that's when it becomes hard to believe. It's not hard to believe that Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry land. It's not hard to believe that Moses went down there with all of the rejection. Now, after all these thousands of years, we're not thinking about every time that Pharaoh put more labor upon them and more burden upon them and rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. We just bypass all that because we're only looking at one thing, and that's what God delivered them and God took them into the promised land. And so, but during that time, it was so hard because they were physically, mentally, spiritually going through those things, and Satan was fighting it in every way. And so it was the same thing in Paul's day. It was life and death. People were being killed. People were being murdered. People were being whipped and stoned and persecuted in every way for believing this new message that had come on. And then not just for believing the new message, but then that much more so that they were believing the old message was useless now. That it was done away and God didn't honor it no more and it was just over with. And so that was a hard place for the people to come to. And so then when it comes up in this day, we look back there and say, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about the New Testament is the new message. It's the new covenant. It's the new, that old thing that Moses had and all of the laws and all of that was just done away with, just simple as pie. There's nothing hard about that. No, it's only hard in the day and the hour that it's taking place. That's when people struggle. That's when people have a hard time. So I just had a few quotes tonight. Might not be very long, but I have several scriptures. We're going to read some of them. And as I was reading some of the scriptures, Brother Branham was talking about in the first seal, he was talking about the Old and New Testament closing out. And he was reading in Malachi 4. And so he's referring to the Old Testament closing out. He said, here is the New Testament now closing out the same way. And so I put in, we'll get to it in a little bit, I put in the whole book of Malachi. Because that was the last book of the Old Testament. And in that book is God is speaking to the people. And he's telling them how that they had rejected him. And I put it, and I'm not going to read, I'm only going to read about 10 verses. Maybe a little more. I'm going to read 10 verses here, but I'm going to read a few places in the book of Malachi. But if you have time, I put them in there for your convenience. You can read those four books, those four chapters of Malachi, and watch how God talks to those people. And it's almost like it's the Old Testament version of Revelation chapter 3. Miserable, blind, naked, and you don't know it. And God is rebuking these people, and he's telling them, and they're saying, we didn't this, and we didn't that, and and God said, and I can't remember, but one of them clearly right now, but we'll read some of it in a little bit, but he was talking about tithes. And he said, you've robbed me. And they said, how have we robbed you? And so that was just one thing of several items, several things that God is saying, you did this. And then the people say, how have we did that? How have we done that? How have we done that? And so they were blind to what they had been doing. They were so caught up in their traditions. They were so caught up in their denominational ideas and their carnal impersonation of the Word of God and of the revelation, until they became just like in this last day, when the people are miserable, blind, naked, and they don't know it. They don't know it. They're absolutely blinded to it. And so the prophet explains all that to us. But let us get started here, or we will be full time. So in verse 13, this is in Hebrews chapter 9. This would actually be Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first one old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And this is the prophet Paul speaking to the people of that day. And you know, this is just new to their ears. This is just amazing them. This is the Hebrew church now that he's talking to. And he's laying it down plainly. And every one of you can think back to the first time, when you first come in the message, but maybe you have been in the message a long time. As I had. I had been in the message quite a while before it became a reality that the New Testament was closed, that it was finished. It was a long time. It was a long time before the reality came that we had a new message. We had a completely new message, and that wasn't it. And so you can imagine when you first started hearing those things, what it was doing to your mind, and it was just changing you completely, your whole mindset, your whole idea of the Bible and God and the message and everything was becoming new to you. And you realize that you had to do away with all of that. And that's what Paul's trying to tell them. That which is old is decaying and it's rotten. And that's what our prophet said. It's corn. It's carrion. It's no good. Verse 1, chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Now, even though they're going to call all of this carnal and all of these things, there was supernatural going on. Because wherever God is, there's supernatural. And when they took that stick in there, that rod in there, and they put it in there and got it in the presence of God, it budded. It budded. And that was what was going to happen when it came down to God, when the bride got in the presence of God in this last day. She was going to bud. She was going to manifest what he is and what he wanted to be manifested in this last day. Verse 5, and over the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went in always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. These are things that become reality. First, when the holiest of all became manifested on Calvary there, they seen the holiest of all. They seen that the presence of God there hanging on Calvary. And then we see it coming down into this day once again, where God is fulfilling the promise and revealing the promise, unveiling God in this last day. See, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Now, we read this a while back, but it fit in here tonight, so I wanted to read this part of it. Which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washings, and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. And I want you to hold on that thought, and we might come back to that later on in some of the messages, because that was ending, it was waiting for a Reformation. And then there was a Reformation that was coming. Remember Brother Branham talked about that all of that through the church ages was Reformation. It was waiting for something greater than that. They were waiting for this. We were waiting for something greater than that. And so we're going to, if you want to read the rest of that, you can read it later. But I want to go to the message, Hear Ye Him. And this is in 1957. And I think we have another message, Hear Ye Him, that's in 1963 that we're going to read from. Now, what I think God was doing here to the world, if we'll go back to the Old Testament and just pick up a little scripture to bring up here before we close it, or the Holy Spirit nail it down for us. See, in the Old Testament, there's patterns and types and shadows. All the Old Testament was kind of a shadow of the New Testament. See, and all that was in both Testaments is a shadow of this day. Think about that. And Brother Branham talked about how every type and every shadow has been made manifest in this day. And so those are powerful statements. And so all that was in both the Old and the New Testament were shadows of this time and this hour. Now, in the message of future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, paragraph 195. Now, that's what we was talking about the other day. The evidence of the Holy Ghost, see? The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word. Not some system, but have a clear understanding. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you have a clear understanding of the Word of God. And how can you have that? How can that come to you? It comes to you by revelation. It's when God reveals to you the revelation of the day, of the hour. God reveals to you what He's doing in that day that you're living in. And that's clear to you. There's no doubt to you that the voice of God in this day came through the vessel, a man named William Marion Branham. There's no doubt to you. You have that so clear in your mind. It's an absolute. It's just like, the sun comes up every day and it goes down and the moon comes out. And it's a natural thing to you. It's become a part of you that you know this is the voice of God and that you know what He's speaking is the Word of God and it's the message of God. And so, but you have a clear understanding. And how do you know the Word is clear? Understand it. Watch it vindicate itself. Now, watch what he says. Now, you say, I see this do it and that. Okay? Now, you see all these impersonators. You see all these preachers. You see all these voices. You see all these manifestations. You see all these signs. You see all these wonders. See, I see this do it and that. Oh, yes. Weeds live by the same way, see? But it's got to be the entire word. Now, when he says what he's saying here, he is very precise. He's very precise in what he's saying. He means exactly what he's saying. He's not stumbling. He's not, speaking figuratively. He means exactly what he's saying. It's got to be the entire word to be the bride. Now watch him. He's going to explain that. You have to be part of him. He is the word, see? And what part of him is it? The word that's promised for this day when he calls his bride. Be part of that. You get it now? Don't lose that. Now, he said it's got to be the entire word to be the bride. What was it in Paul's day? It was part of the word. It was part of the spirit. It was part of the revelation. What was it through the church ages? It was part of it. It was part of the spirit. It was part of the revelation. But in order to be the word today, you can't be part of it no more. You have to be the entire word. You have to be the fullness of it. You have to be all of it, all that he is today. That's what the bride is. It's not that which is in part. It's not that little piece of it that they had back there somewhere. No, now it's the full revelation. It's the full unveiling. It's the full thing made known and manifested in the bride. That's where it's at today. So it has to be part of him for this day. The word that's promised for this day when he calls his bride. And so I had these quotes last Wednesday. And this was, I was wanting to lead into the calling of the bride, because this is part of, this is what the new covenant does. This is what the covenant today does. It's calling the bride for this day, calling her into the presence of God, calling her into that marriage, calling her into that oneness, and making them one. And so now I ended up going with the closing of the book, and then we're going to pick this up on Sunday as far as the calling of the bride, because that's the message. That's the message. But first, he's going to tell us that these other messages are completely finished. They're completely done. They're over. Be a part of that. You get it? See, don't lose that now. And he makes it a fit place to live through eternity. Now, he's preaching on the heaven. He's talking on moving on in the millennium and all of that. Okay, this is in the message. Is this the sign of the insert? Paragraph, page 38, paragraph 2. Now look where the voices was in the thunders. Not in heaven, on earth. The thunders never uttered from the heavens, they uttered from the earth. See? And I was about to write when I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. So John's on the earth, the angel's on the earth, he's hearing these things, and then a voice speaks from heaven and says, don't write it. Seal it up. Seal it up and don't write it. I was about to write, see, the seven thunders never uttered from the heavens, they uttered from the earth. And I was about to write when I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. See, it's on the back side. When a book is complete, now he didn't say on the front side, he said on the back side. After it's all done, completed, then these seven thunder voices is the only thing that is stuck to the book. It's not even revealed. It's not even written in the Bible. So we're separating that. He's separating that. He's separating it. He's going to close out. Actually, Paul closed out the Old Testament. Our prophet is going to close out the New Testament. He's going to tell us when it closed out, and he's going to tell us how it closed out. And so here now he's identifying these seven thunders are being spoken on the earth, and they're not written in the Bible. And the Bible, the New Testament, is what's being closed out. So he's letting us know that this is a different message, that this is a different covenant, and that this is the covenant that's going to call the bride. This is totally different from what they had through the church ages now. This is the climax of all of it. What they were looking to, what they were hoping for, what they were, the promises that were being given. Now the reality of that had come. And now it's made manifest in the bride of this day. See, it's not even written in the book. Now, oh my, I wish I could get that to the people. Huh? What? That these seven thunders are at the end time. And these seven thunders are after the book is revealed. After it's completely completed, completely done. Then these seven thunders are not spoken in heaven now. He's getting all of that out of our minds. He's clearing all of that up. So when people come along and say, no, that's over there, that's when we get over there, the New Testament's never done away with, that's our message, Pentecost is our message. See, then when we get in the millennium, he'll reveal these other things that's not in the Bible. No. That's why he's saying these things. That's why he's making these things clear, so that when all of these false ideas for people who can't understand or can't receive this revelation, we have the answer. And that's what Brother Branham said. We have the devil's answer. And so when he comes with that lie, we know it's not over there. It's here and it's now. And so the Bible is completed. Then comes those seven thunders, those seven mysterious thunders. Oh my, I wish I could get that to the people. And could actually, don't fail. Don't fail. Please don't this time. I'm fixing to leave you. Don't fail. He's crying out to the bride and telling him, listen what I'm telling you. This is for you. This is for now. Don't miss this. This is important. If you ever listened, listen. These seals are on the backside of the book. And at the time that the seventh angel is sounding, all the mysteries that are written in the book is completed. See? And immediately, the book that was open and written within, he says, and written and within. See, that book that was written within, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. The book written within, the writing on the inside, that's the Bible. The writing on the outside, that's the unwritten word. That's what was not in the book. And so he's saying all these mysteries that are written in the book is completed. And immediately the book that was open and written within is closed. So all the mysteries in the Bible are completely revealed, and then the book is closed. It's open, revealed, it's closed. This closed is not like taking your book and opening it like that and reading it and then closing it. This is a finish. This closing is this book is now finished. Now it's been completely revealed. Now all the mysteries of the whole Bible are completely revealed. And now it's over. Now it's done. Redemption is finished. The book is finished. Pentecost is finished. The New Testament is finished. All of it's finished. Every bit of it is fulfilled. And that's what it means. We're still reading out of the Old Testament. We're still being blessed out of the Old Testament. We can read that and be blessed by it. We can still read out of the New Testament and be blessed by it. But we read with understanding. We read the Old Testament knowing that it's finished, it's complete, it's fulfilled, it's over, it's closed. We read the New Testament with the same understanding that it has been fulfilled, it's over, it's closed, it's done. Completely, it's done. See, the mysteries of God is finished, and this is the mysteries, see, of God. The going of the church and all these other things. The mysteries is over. That's right. Now, he covered so much of this in the, is this the sign of the end, sir? And that was a great message. There were some things he wasn't sure about, and that all came through, but one thing he was clear on, that this was going to close out the Bible. And these seven thunders were then going to be spoken. And that's why in 1965, when he preached Invisible Union, he looked back to this message And he said, was it exactly right? Was it exactly right? And all the people cried out, amen. And he said, that being true, because that's true, because that message was exactly right, he said, then we have the message to gather the bride together. What is that? That is the calling of the bride. That is this message calling the bride. That's what he's saying. He's telling us, because that prophecy, because those scriptures and prophecies were exactly right, that identified and vindicated that the bride is being called by the word, by the presence of God. And so it was a great thing. So now I'm going to read now. Like I said, I got this from the first seal. What made me want to go back and look at the book of Malachi. And when I did, it just was so striking to me. So I put the whole thing in there so that it would just be convenient for you to read later if you want. You forgive me. This thing's moving out. It's on its second week. I went to the doctor today. I told him, in my whole life, I've never been sick this long. This is almost 6 weeks. And I went through like the flu, had a couple of days. Then I had, I don't know why, but I had some kind of dysentery for a whole week, a week or more. And so I never that long had anything like that. And then started with the throat. And when that started, I thought I was kind of happy about it. I thought, I preached hard one night. And so I got a sore throat. And I said, that made me, Brother Ben said, that make you feel good for your preacher. And so I thought, that's okay. And so then it went on, and it got painful, and then it got all the other stuff. And so, but it's about to go away. And then, but the wife got it with the vengeance. And so I went and I got some medications. And so I'm letting her take the medication. And I feel like mine's just, it's just so almost over. But anyways, verse 1, Malachi 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? See, they're doubting him. God's told them, and they're doubting what God said. And this is through these chapters, these first three chapters. Over and over, these same things are being spoken. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. And I laid his mountains to waste, and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. And I'm skipping down to verse 6 now. Like I said, I'm skipping through here. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Huh? Where is my honor from the people? Where is the fear of the people for this mighty God? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that have despised my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? See, you offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? See, saith the Lord of hosts. What was their commandment? Their commandment was to bring a lamb without spot or without blemish. But they kept the lamb without spot or blemish for themselves, or for their friends, or for whoever. And they brought that was blind and lame and halt to offer unto God, when God should have been getting the very best. And so it just became a stink in the sight of God. There was no fear. There was no respect. There was nothing there anymore of the people. And then when the prophet spoke and rebuked them for it, they'd say, how have we done that? How have we done this? How have we done that? As blind could be. Verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. This is where God is now. He's preparing them. And this is the last prophet. And so this last prophet is bringing his message to the people, and he's preparing them for what's fixing to happen, that God is going to turn from the Jews because of their rejection and because of their insubordinates and because of their lack of respect for everything that God wanted them to do. And he's telling them now, he's saying, my name is going to be great among the Gentiles. I'm going to be great. They're going to love me. And they're going to, every nation's going to turn to me. And they're going to come and they're going to worship me. And they're going to bow down before me. Because he was calling a bride out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. A pure offering. Listen to that. A pure offering. Not in there with all that man-made filth. See, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Oh my, and it's, you can just read it later. Chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing, yea, and I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. What does God want? He wants it from the heart. He wants that love. He wants that respect. See? Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and send dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast. And one shall take you, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, God has an anointed ministry, and God ordained for the Levites to minister the covenant of Moses. And when everybody else started doing it, it was a stink in the sight of God because God didn't call them to do it. And today, when we got more women preachers than we've ever had, we've got more false preachers than we ever had, it's a stink in the sight of God. And it's even come over into the message. It's not from the heart. It is for different reasons. Whatever the reason is, if it's for money, if it's for popularity, if it's for whatever reason, God's not pleased with it. God is pleased with one thing, and that's when the revelation is being brought to the bride. That's all God cares about is his bride. Just like he said for the Old Testament, he said, I loved Jacob, and Jacob is who I blessed. I didn't love Esau. I didn't love all of the rest of them, Edom and all of that. He said, I didn't love that. And he said, I laid them to waste because they didn't love me. That's what people fail to see. They look at it and they say, oh, well, God's hating them. No, you know why God's hating them? Because they hate God. That's the part people are failing to get out of those statements. They hate God. Verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Oh, yeah. When God has called somebody to preach this revelation or any revelation, that is a messenger. That is an angel. See, And that prophet is the highest order of it. And that's what all of us are looking to. We're looking to that voice. Verse 8. But ye are departed out of the way, and ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. And I like here how he is identifying that covenant of Moses now, calling it the covenant of Levi. And he's calling them the messengers, because they're the ones who minister that revelation. And Brother Branham said, the message and the messenger is one. And God's identifying them as being the ones that he called to bring that revelation. So that revelation is them. And so whether you call it the law of Moses or the Old Testament or the covenant of Levi, God is identifying it with who is speaking it at that time. He's identifying it. And that was something that was striking to me one time many years ago when Brother Holmes made a statement one day, and this was said for a while. He said he had read so many times about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, like that. And he said, the God of William Branham. Because that is the one that God was speaking through in this day. That's the one who was identified with the true and living God. Anyone else could believe anything, but in that day, Abraham was known to that God had identified himself with Abraham. He was with Abraham. The people knew he was with Abraham. The people feared Abraham because God vindicated his presence with Abraham. He went down there and he lied about Sarah being his sister and told Abimelech, if he doesn't pray for you, I'm going to destroy your nation. And already, when he took Sarah, already there was sickness that went into the kingdom and to the people. Because the scripture tells us that they were delivered from that after Abraham prayed for them. And so God had already smitten them. And here it was, God was identifying himself with Abraham so that these people, they now begin to fear the God of Abraham because they knew this was the true and the living God. And people with wisdom, they fear the God of William Marion Branham. See, therefore, verse 9, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. And have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Think about that. It comes right over in the New Testament. It comes right over into this day. Let's go to Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? And now, when I read this verse and some of these other verses, I identified immediately with this day. How many gay and lesbian preachers and pastors are there today identifying that there's no sin, that God is a God of love, and that God loves all? There's no judgment. There's no judgment. That's what they're talking about there. See, where is the God of judgment? No, he loves everybody. He's not judging everybody. He loves everybody. And so there's no wrong. There's no all of the transgender, all of that stuff that's going around. There's no wrong. Everything is right. That's what they were saying in that day. That's what they're saying again in this day. They were making everything they do okay. And it's not. God, just like in the days of Balaam, he said, you are not one. You are a separated people. It don't matter they're making the same sacrifice. They're making the same everything. You people are separate because I called you. I didn't call them. I love Jacob's seed. I don't love Esau's seed. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. See, promising this new covenant here. So these scriptures in Malachi are closing out the Old Testament and identifying a new message and a new messenger. God himself coming down to bring this new message. That's exactly what happened in this day. Exactly what happened. See, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Not all of that filth, not all that pervertedness, but now something pure and something righteous. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. See, the offering. But notice at the same time, this offering is becoming acceptable to God. It's coming by a new testament. It's coming by a new message. It's not coming by the old thing, not coming by the old things that have become a stink in God's sight, but a new message is coming, a new messenger is coming, and God is now once again going to be able to glory in the sacrifice of his seed, surrendering their life to him and respecting and loving him from the heart. Amen. Verse 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. See, even from the days of your father, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Notice how it keeps coming back, keeps coming back. I'm skipping down to verse 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, or that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? See, they don't even see no need to serve him anymore. They don't see any importance. That's exactly what Esau did. He didn't see the importance of the birthright. And now we call the proud happy. See, now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. They are. They're glorified now. They're glorified. You remember when Bill Clinton was in the White House and he had the affair with Monica Lewinsky on the presidential desk? And do you know that she became famous and she got paid to go around to different radio stations and different places and speak? You remember when Jim Baker fell because of sleeping with some church secretary? You know that those women were glorified? Those women were lifted up? I don't know if you remember those things. Most of you were probably small when those things happened. But That's where many of those things was becoming. That's when it was really becoming. It was just turning around. And people were shocked. People were shocked now to see things that were once an abomination, now to see it glorified. It was completely changed, completely turned around than what it was. See? Now, them that are proud, we call it happy, see? And then they work wickedness and are set up. See, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. They that tempt God are even delivered. Right there on Calvary, right there on Calvary, the murderer was let go. He was let go. See, those that are doing the wrong, they're the ones that are being delivered. Brother Branham talked about one time him and three or four brothers, they were in a city there. They were having meetings and said they were walking from the hotel. They were going to get something to eat and said they crossed over the street and said a policeman got them and rebuked them and was just tearing them apart. And because they called it jaywalking because they had not went down the street to the crosswalk. While there was no traffic coming, they just walked across the street. And so he just ripped them up one side and down the other. So they thought they would explain their situation, that first of all, they didn't know. Second of all, that they were ministers and they were there for some meetings. And they thought this would soften him up a bit to know they were in the service of the Lord. Said when that policeman found out they were preachers, said it made it worse. Said he got arrogant and a worser attitude than he had before. So that's the power of Satan in the earth today, turning the people completely backwards from what it once was. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Praise be to God. This is just wonderful. See, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord, all those whose names is in the book. See, that book that he made with all those names, all of those people are talking more and more now because these spirits that are let loose in the earth. See, and it was right there in Paul's day. It was right there. Paul told him, he said, that grievous wolves are going to be entering in, see, upon my departure. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. See, then shall ye return and discern between righteousness and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And that's where we are now. See, even in that day, God sent a prophet to discern that. See, and Brother Branham come right along and said, the same today. How do we know them? We know them by the Spirit. We know them by the Word. See, that's the thing. We're a discerner. We discern right and wrong by the Word of God. Malachi 4, I want to read all six verses here. And we're moving on. Our time's getting short, but I just got a little bit more. For behold, the day cometh. Now, that was John the Baptist there in the third chapter. And that was the coming of the Lord in that day, the Lord coming. And so that was doing away. A message was finishing. A new message was being introduced. Now, here's Malachi 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, and the statutes and the judgments. Remember that God called them to be obedient to the message of that day. And now he's calling the people again to be obedient to the message of a new day. He's calling them for that. Remember those things. Remember what happened. Remember how they went contrary to the word of God. Remember how God was bringing the revelation to Moses and they started worshiping a calf and started perverting the revelation, started perverting everything. Verse 5. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. And what else happened in the days of Moses? God sent a man that would be God to the people. That's what happened. In the first seal, paragraph 150, page 151, paragraph 1. Amen. Here is the Old Testament closing out like that. And here's the New Testament closing out with the very same thing. Now, I put in the whole book of Malachi, but Brother Branham had just got done before this, the paragraph before this, Brother Branham was reading Malachi 4. He was reading out of the fourth chapter of Malachi. And he's saying, here is the Old Testament closing out. That was what was happening in Malachi 3. That was what was happening in the book of Malachi. It was coming to a close. God was rebuking them for what they had come to. And so now a new message was coming forth. The promise that they claimed that they were waiting for, and yet they were so steeped up in traditions, they couldn't even bear out the word of their day. See, and here's the New Testament closing out with the very same thing. Miserable, blind, naked, and don't know it. But God sending a messenger. God sending a voice. See? How are you going to keep it away? See? I will send you Elijah the prophet before that day comes. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. There you are. That's the word of the Lord. He's promised it. It must come. That's right. Praise be to God. Let's go. He that is in you. This is in 1963, paragraph 24. Now there it is. Scientifically proof that it's the truth. So therefore, we don't worry whether it's the truth. We don't worry. Why? Because we know it's the truth. Because it's been proven that it's the truth. God has vindicated that it's the truth. See, both scientifically and spiritually, what was said has come to pass. We're not worried about it. It's already done. It's already vindicated. It's already proven. See, is this the time exactly right? Yes, it was exactly right. We're not guessing if it was right. Now we know that it's right because it's all happened exactly the way that he said. See, what was said come to pass. So, what does that mean? That means the message of the seven seals in their closing, that's the message of the entire Bible. The seven seals closes the New Testament and seals it up. Huh? Sealed it up. That is true. And we know that that is by prophetic utterance and by scientific evidence. And by the word. That's right. The prophet spoke it. Science took the picture of it. And the word, the scripture promised that it would be. Malachi 4. Promised that what would take place. Revelation 10. Promised what would take place. There we have it. Three different ways. Prophetic, scientific, and by the scriptures that it would be. We see it. So the New Testament, the seven seals, the opening of the seven seals closes the New Testament. It's fulfilled. It's done. It's over. That is true. Praise be to God. Now, I have one more quote, and I could spend some time on it, but I'm just going to read it, and because you heard it many, many times, and it's a favorite of mine, and it's just really something that when this one became real to us, it just, you know, we read it over and over and over, and but it's never going to change. People can despise it. They can hate it. They can fuss about it. But they're never going to change this revelation because this is a revelation. Paragraph 322. We're in the last days. We all know that. And we're ready for the coming of the Lord. The thing to do is separate yourself from all sin. Separate yourself from anything that pertains to the world. Don't love the world or the things of the world, see? And let no man by his creed deceive you. You stay right straight in the promise of God, the word of God, And that word, if it's a word for this day, God vindicates it. See? Just like we read a while ago, it's a clear understanding. And how do we get that clear understanding? It's the word for the day made manifest. It's what God promised today, manifested before us so that we can see it. See? And that word, if it's the word for this day, God vindicates it so. And if he doesn't, it's not the word for this day. See, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, no, sir. That was for Pentecost, and this is for the bride. This is for the going home of the bride. We've got something different. The Old Testament closed out in Paul's day. The New Testament closed out in Brother Branham's day. And now we have another message. We have another covenant. And this covenant now is for the going home of the bride. It's for the calling of the bride. It's for the union of Christ and his bride in this day. That's right. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, no, sir. That was for Pentecost. This is for the bride. Going home of the bride, we've got something different. The Pentecostals represented that again. We're in the bride age. No more than the word of Noah would have worked in the days of Moses, see? No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul. He tried to tell them, you're dead to that and you cannot have it. You're dead to that and you cannot have it. The word that fell on the day of Pentecost, it will not work today. I don't know how many excuses I've heard people give to explain that away because they just can't comprehend it. They just cannot accept it. But if they would have lived in Paul's day, they wouldn't have believed Paul either. They couldn't have been able to believe that Moses' law was finished and done. They wouldn't have been able to let go. And that same spirit is here in this last days to keep people from believing this new covenant, this eternal covenant that God has revealed to his wife, to his bride, to make them one once again. And so we thank him and we praise him. We'll ask you to stand together with us, and we're going to dismiss in prayer. And we want to... remember Brother Goomba and the family. We want to remember Brother Michael. He's out of town working. We appreciate him. He was helping Rebecca there while he was on his way to eat. They were walking somewhere to eat. And so we talked to him a few minutes. And so we want to just continue to pray one for another. Remember Sister Evelyn. And so... Yeah, Sister Betty and the family there, and we just want to commit all things to him. So let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for the privilege we had to come together tonight. We thank you for the songs of praise and worship to you. And we thank you, Lord, for these scriptures, for the quotes. Lord, for your many messengers, your many servants, Lord, to bring forth the revelation of the day. And Lord, we thank you for that spiritual food. Lord, we just ask that as this bride gathered in this last day, Lord, that you've called, Lord, by those seven thunder mysteries, we thank you, Father. And Lord, we look to thee for the leading of the Holy Ghost every day, that the Spirit would guide us and keep us, Lord. Give us utterance to speak. Lord, we thank you and praise you. May you be with each one now, those that are out, those that are coming. Lord, those that are sick, those that are afflicted, Lord. Lord, let that healing continue, Lord, to bring forth a full manifestation in each one. As we just thank you and praise you. We commit all to you, Lord. For we ask all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you, and you're dismissed.